If you can save one dog's life, just like Lola, you can save one and think of all the wonderful things she's done for so many people. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing story.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and you're listening to Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Today on Dog Words, Kim Hunter tells us about her canine partner in the Clay County Sheriff's Office, Lola. If you're new to Dog Words, in each episode, we explore the world of dog care and companionship. We save each other is the motto of Rosie Fund, which simply means the more we do for dogs, the more they do for us, and they already do a lot. You can support Rosie Fund by making a donation on our website or Facebook page. You can also contribute by making a purchase from the store on our website, buying a t-shirt at bonfire.com, or buying our note cards featuring Rosie and Peaches. Just click on shop at rosiefund.org. Your donations and purchases help fund the Rosie Life Starter Kits that make sure these senior and harder-to-adopt dogs have some of the items they'll need in their forever home. Any donation amount is greatly appreciated. You can also support Rosie Fund by downloading, subscribing, rating, and most importantly, sharing Dog Words. Follow us on social media, even if you aren't looking for a dog. Watching and sharing the videos helps our channel gain exposure, bringing awareness to our cause, and giving shelter dogs much-needed attention. Our Rosie Fund YouTube channel offers great videos of Rosie, Peaches, Vinny, Rosie Fund Ambassador Maggie, and shelter dogs looking for their forever home. We welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions, especially if you have an idea for a topic or guest. Go to the podcast page at rosiefund.org to share your thoughts. The mission of Rosie Fund is to provide humans with the resources and education they need to give senior and harder-to-adopt dogs a better life. We thank you for joining our mission. Today in studio, we have Kim Hunter, the communications supervisor for the Clay County Sheriff's Office, and Lola's canine handler. And we want to learn all about Lola, but first, Kim, welcome to Dog Words.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The background on why we invited you on was Clay County Sheriff Aiken was at the library, Woodneath Library, where my wife works. And he was reading a book to school children. The book is Positively Lola, A Service Dog's Adventures. And it's about your work partner, Lola. So tell us a little bit about Lola.
Well, Lola is a black lab. I got her in February of 2021. I was the communications director at that time. And the dispatchers were like, we would love to have a dog. And I was like, I don't know about that. But it came to be that there was a dog in Independence named Josie. And one of my captains at that time got me in contact with Matt Scholl, who was the sergeant at that time, who was Josie's handler. Met Josie, met him, and then there was another dog that was available for Canines for Freedom and Independence in Collinsville, Texas. And that's where Lola came from. She was donated by Janine, who trains and gives these dogs to agencies that are in need for mental health awareness and for crisis.
And this isn't a dog breeder who breeds service dogs, because we've had the Seeing Eye on, who trains dogs for the vision impaired. And there's a very specific set of criteria, and so they breed for that.
Correct.
But aside from that, there's other service dog applications that make it very attainable for a dog that isn't bred specifically for this purpose. So that was not her background.
No, actually, she is a registered AKC hunting lab. She was bought and purchased for that specific purpose. And the kind of neat part of her story, what comes in is Lola is a rescue. And she was treated pretty poorly for the first 6 months of her life. She was left in a crate. They were told she was aggressive and untrainable. And she was surrendered to a shelter in Texas. The shelter called Janine and said, hey, I think we have a dog that may fit the criteria for your purpose. And so she went up there and she met Lola and she took Lola.
Now, too often that assessment of aggressive and untrainable and other negative characteristics doesn't come from a dog behaviorist. It comes from an owner who is either mistreating the dog or doesn't understand dog behavior or is trying to get the dog to do something that is not in its nature, trying to turn it into a dog they've had before. I want this dog to be the same, or a dog that they've seen.
Absolutely.
And so Lola, unfortunately, well, the first part of it is unfortunate that she was mistreated, but then fortunately she was identified as a dog with potential.
Absolutely. And Janine saw the potential in her. Janine is a 25-year combat war veteran. She's also a canine handler. So she does dual purpose canines. So she is aware of dog behavior, what fits, what doesn't. And she knew there was something pretty special about Lola.
Had you had any experience with being a dog handler or even a dog owner prior to your connection with Lola?
A dog owner, yes. I've had dogs my entire life. My dad and my mom both, my sister, my family, we all love dogs. Me being a canine handler, no, I'm a civilian. So for that, I would have never in a million years guessed that. But it is the most rewarding thing I think I've ever done in my career.
And how did it fall to you in the office to be Lola's partner?
Well, basically how it started was that, like I said, the dispatchers wanted a dog.
Because I don't think there is, I assume there was not an org chart for the sheriff's office and just a blank spot for when we get a dog.
That's correct.
It goes with the communication supervisor.
Yes. And actually, it probably wouldn't have worked out that way. Sheriff Aiken was my captain for a very long time. So I was very close with him and we knew each other very well. And he told me, he said, I think this is something you can do. You can make a difference. And, you know, I trust that you're going to take this program and run with it. And that's what I did.
He had all the confidence in the world in you, it sounds like. What was your expectations? What did you think you could do?
Honestly, I was terrified at first. I was completely terrified. When Janine came up, I went through I call it a week-long boot camp. She wanted to make sure that I was going to be good for Lola and Lola was going to be good for us. And the minute I saw Lola, it was just amazing. There was an instant connection and Janine saw it. She had the faith in me too. She just had to bring it out in me. And like I said, I train with her every day. It's an everyday training process. I federally certify every year with Lola on a state level as well. So there's a lot more that goes into it than people realize. It's not just, you know, walking around with a therapy canine or, you know, visiting schools. There's a lot more to it.
She's a good girl. I met her and she's beautiful, sleek black coat. But as you suggest, it's more than just walking around and being a beautiful dog. Yes. What are her responsibilities?
Well, what I like to tell people is we handle veterans, children, and first responders in crisis. We do anything from line of duty deaths, which is unfortunately we've had several in the metro area here lately. We've been to hospitals with her, with the family of the slain officers. We've been to their homes, been to schools where children are in a crisis and they see a dog come through and it kind of takes their mind away for a little bit, you know, takes their mind off of that for just a second to go, hey, here's somebody that I can love on that's not going to say a word to me, but she's just going to sit there and love on me for a minute. And sometimes they just need that connection. Yeah.
Whenever there's a crisis or a tragedy, particularly when it's related to a member of a school community, there's always the announcement that counselors will be on hand. And there are counselors in the school, but they need more to serve the whole student body when there's a crisis. And it doesn't matter how well-trained that human is. It takes some time to build up a rapport and get a child's trust.
Absolutely.
With a dog, it's immediate.
Yes. And I always ask people at first, are they good with dogs? I always try to be respectful when I walk in a room. Is there anyone who's frightened of dogs? Because I don't want that interaction with Lola to be negative. Mm-hmm. So I always respect people who, you know, may or may not want to interact with her, and that's okay too. But she does have that special way, just that, I'd call it the special Lola thing. She just does her thing, and she brightens up a room. Mm-hmm. She will brighten up a room when she walks into it. I mean, there's SWAT guys, there's big tough guys who are just like down on the floor playing with her, and, you know, that to me is special. That I know makes a difference.
I always ask this when someone is talking about their service dog. Does Lola seem to know when she's on the clock versus when she's off the clock?
Yes. I have a special collar for her that I put on, and she knows that when she has her badge and her collar on, it's work time. And when we go home, that collar comes off, and she gets to be Lola. She gets to be a black lab and play with her little sister, Remy, in the backyard. So I always try to make sure she has that good work-home life balance for her.
Well, just as with first responders are taking on so much stress from the trauma they encounter, they need to be able to find balance.
Absolutely.
That's what she's doing too. She's taking on stress from whoever's playing with her or loving on her and what she's giving to them. She needs that break.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I try to tell people. They're like, you know, why is she so tired right now? And why is she snoring in her kennel? And I'm like, well, she's been interacting, you know, a normal dog that's home all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not like a dual purpose canine. She doesn't sit in the back of my car until she's ready to be deployed. Lola goes with me everywhere. If she's in the car, it's just for a very short amount of time. So yeah, she gets pretty tired sometimes.
With what we commonly think of as a police dog, and you know, you picture a German Shepherd or a Belgian Malinois or something like that, most people know, you don't touch them, you don't acknowledge them, just let them do what they need to do. Lola's responsibilities are kind of the opposite of that.
Completely.
You're supposed to approach her. You're supposed to love on her. You're supposed to give her attention.
Yes.
So like you said, she can't just be waiting from a command from her handler.
Correct.
She's constantly on. That would be exhausting. That would be like being Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. That wherever you go,
always
you
in
are
the
focus of attention.
Yes.
You have to assume I am being watched. Somebody wants something from me at all times. That would have to be exhausting, which is why they get away. Glad that you have Remy is kind of Lola's support animal.
Absolutely. And I have a kennel in my office at Gladstone. And so she'll go in there and everybody knows when she's in her kennel. That's my way of telling everybody, unless there's something serious going on or if there's a crisis I need to respond to, just let her rest for a little bit. And that's like her safe spot. A kennel should never be a punishment location. It should never be anything other than that's where they feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of dog owners, especially new owners, have that problem with crate training. They force the dog in. They turn it into a punishment, even if on some level they understand this is for the dog's benefit, that they're in an environment where the dog does need to be kenneled. Yeah, you got to make it fun. It's a treat. It's your safe place.
Yes, and then that's one thing that I always like to tell people is don't ever use that as a punishment. Lola knows that's her safe place. She knows when I say the word kennel, she goes right to it. So does Remy. They know they're safe there. And I don't leave Lola out at home she's out if I'm out. But if I go somewhere without her, shopping, out to dinner, then she knows her kennel's her safe spot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't correct a dog for misbehaving and then say, no, bad dog, kennel up.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, there were so many things that I had to learn. I was thankful I had so many people. My canine sergeant, he's been amazing helping me. I have another employee at the sheriff's office who does search and rescue canine for most of her life. She's helped me a great deal. It's really been a team effort. So I've been blessed to have a lot of good people put in my path to help me.
Well, earlier I mentioned the book Positively Lola, A Service Dog's Adventures. Not every dog gets a book written about them. However, a lot of dogs that have been on DogWords have. That's how they end up on DogWords. How did Lola's story come about?
Mike Dickerson contacted the sheriff's office and said, you know, I've heard about Lola. He had a service dog named Dax. That was the first book was his dog. So he is also a combat war veteran and had heard about me through interactions that we had with the veterans, Aurora's Descent. And he said, I'd like to meet her. And so we met, and the book came about after that.
How was the book put together? Were there interviews, or did he follow you around? What
yes.
was his process?
Yeah, he did basically a walk with me. I call it a walk around. So he met with me one day, spent a day with Lola and I, and kind of got to see what we did.
Yeah, and the structure of the book is really just a day in the life of Lola with pictures, not drawings, but actual photographs of her interacting with people, your colleagues, different groups. She's got her duck. She has a little birthday party. So lots of fun pictures. It would be a great book just for anyone who likes dogs, but certainly anyone with children wanting to know about service dogs and explaining the difference between your family dog and a service dog. You think, read this book, and it might open up someone's eyes to either getting a service dog or working with service dogs, the background that you didn't have before all of a sudden you were handling a service dog.
Absolutely. And that's what he loves writing children's books. And what's really neat about Mike was He's from Lathrop, which is just north of where I'm from. I'm from Kearney, and that's where Lola and I live. And this book, he donates 100% of the proceeds for this book to a charity of my choice. So my choice for the charity was HALO, and that's the Sheriff's Department's. Basically, we help financially any employee that may need it. All of the proceeds, 100%, Mike donates to that charity.
And there will be a link in the description for the book's page on the Sheriff's Department's website.
Correct.
So people can learn more about the book and get their own copy of the book. Sidebar here, Maggie is in studio with us and has decided now is the time to play with her toy.
She's enjoying it too.
Yes. You're having a good time there, Maggie. So did you learn anything in the writing of the book? Because that kind of puts attention on things that maybe you took for granted or didn't realize until someone puts you under the microscope and says, we're going to write all this stuff down. We're going to put it in a book.
Yeah, it was at first. I kind of thought maybe there was something I had missed on it or, you know, something that, you know, maybe I should have put this in there, but I think it turned out exactly the way it was supposed to turn out. Mm-hmm. And I'll always be grateful for that opportunity with Mike. He's such a good person and he really loves animals and his heart and soul went into dogs, therapy dogs, service dogs. So I definitely opened my heart and my mind and he put it all on paper and made it just an amazing book for children.
It's a good children's book, and I understand when you say, you know, there's always stuff you want to put in, because when you're writing a book, there's always one more word, one more line, one more chapter, something else, and when you read it, you have to just shift gears to no expectations.
Yes.
Because the people who are reading the book don't have those expectations. They don't all know all the stuff that you considered and reconsidered. And so just coming from it, from the perspective of a reader, especially a child, it's just a fun book with pictures that will help you fall in love with Lola as well. Taking Lola into an office just to give someone a break to sort of decompress is one thing, but do you also encounter people who are like under great duress or panicking or in a traumatic situation ongoing? How did they respond?
Yes, we did. We were at Warrior's Ascent in Parkville. They do a retreat and they do everything as nonprofit as well. So they have first responders, war veterans, anyone who just needs that week-long retreat that has clinicians involved. They do special ceremonies for the individuals that participate in it. There was an individual who was in a panic attack, in a mental health crisis, and he got to hug on to Lola. And the clinician that was there said he, in all of his years of service, he's never seen that happen, that the veteran went from a 10 to a 2.
Wow.
Yes, in less than probably 5 minutes. And we were able to get information to him in order and how to obtain a therapy canine as well. So hopefully that made his life a little bit easier.
We've had trainers on who provide dogs for veterans and first responders. And so many of them have either dropped out of the system, they were frustrated with what services were being provided for them. They just gave up. And so they don't have someone telling them, you can get a service dog.
Correct.
Or they don't realize that you don't have to be missing a limb. You don't have to be visibly impaired in some way to get a service dog. There are service dogs available for you.
Absolutely. And I always tell people, not all of the scars are on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the scars are on the inside. And those are easier to cover up, but they come out
mm-hmm.
eventually.
And the service dogs are trained specifically to give support when needed and to help their veteran or first responder identify for themselves, oh, here's when I need my dog, and I can anticipate. As the dog learns to anticipate, they learn to anticipate and can mitigate triggers.
Absolutely.
And not just be in crisis or at a 10. Obviously, the dog is there to help them when they hit 10, but the dog also helps keep them below that.
Correct.
So all kinds of advantages And many of those service dogs also come from shelters.
Absolutely. And if you can save one dog's life, just like Lola, you can save one. And think of all the wonderful things she's done for so many people. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing story.
That's a great investment.
Yes, and I'm glad I get to be part of it.
Tell me a little bit more about Lola's social life. You said she gets to decompress with Remy, but do you also get like days in the park and just go for walks and just get to be a normal dog outside of that?
Oh, absolutely. She loves to go on walks. She loves to swim. We have some...
She's a black lab.
She is. Yeah. We have a pond that she likes to take a dip in every now and then. But yeah, she's a sweet girl. I mean, there's really no other way to describe her. She just has the sweetest personality. And I mean, she can be a little ornery sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a black lab. She likes to just do her own thing. She likes to relax and just enjoy being loved on.
It's nice when they show a little personality.
Yeah, absolutely. She's spunky. I mean, she's spunky when she wants to be. So it's kind of neat.
Well, how old is Lola?
She will be 5 in October.
So you got her, she was about 2 or 3?
She was about 2.
2. Is there a career expectancy that, you know, do this for 6-7 years and then they're done? Or you just kind of read, she's winding down?
We kind of will play it by ear. Generally, canines are about between 8 and 9 whenever they fulfill their career. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where she goes.
And she doesn't have to crawl over rubble or run down a perp.
No. And that's one of the nicer things is she gets pampered. She gets to have her, you know, she has her own car. She has her own license plate. She has a bed in the back. She does. Like I said, she's living her best life.
As her handler, are you responsible for like her vet bills and her food, or is that covered by the county?
Actually, the vet is Long's Veterinary Clinic in Kearney. They provide all the services for Lola. They also give all of the necessary preventatives for her every month. They give her her supplements. So we are very grateful for the Long Vet Clinic in Kearney. They graciously give their services and provide those. And then Purina in St. Joe provides her dog food.
We had Katie Reed and service dog Gia actually... had them on twice, that is with a grade school. And it was a program, and I'll link to those interviews also in the description, but it was a program where she saw a flyer or something about, would you like to have a therapy dog or a service dog, I might be messing up the terminology, in your school? And she was like, oh, sure, I'll apply for that. And I guess very few other counselors in the district had. And so she gets this service dog, and like you, she'd had dogs growing up with dogs, but had no experience as a dog handler. But then they have that week-long boot camp when the dog is delivered to make sure you know what you need to know. And of course, after she shows up with a dog, then counselors from other schools are like, wait a minute.
Yes.
This is awesome. Where's my dog? It's like, well, everybody got the flyer. You ignored it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, like I said, Sheriff Aiken is the first sheriff in the state of Missouri to initiate a CERT canine program, which is a critical incident response team canine. And that's what Lola certified as. So Independence was the first police department in the state of Missouri. So it's kind of neat that he had that initiative and that drive to help in the mental health area and the mental health awareness. So that's kind of neat. And like I said, it took a little bit of getting used to, you know, being a 911 dispatcher. You know, I started that in my career in 1993 and took over supervisor position in 2013. So now I'm doing dual roles. So I have, you know, the crisis intervention team that I do as well with Lola, and then I also do the communications part as well.
Well, I'll make the same plea that I made when Katie and Gia were on, which is if you're a school district out there that doesn't have a dog, look into this. It's a great opportunity to help your community and get a dog out of a shelter, because that's where those programs get those dogs. But also, if you are not just a sheriff's department, but any law enforcement organization, I imagine, would have access to this.
Absolutely.
So you can help your staff, your community, and you get a dog out of the shelter. And as far as whatever expense it is, I'm sure there's many veterinary clinics like yours that would love to give back to the community, give back to their first responders by helping with the dog.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I always tell people, make sure that your dog is certified. That is very important, especially if they're going to be around children.
Yeah, don't just ask, okay, who here has a dog?
Right.
That's pretty nice. Bring it in.
Yes.
We'll put a badge on it.
Yes, that's where the waters get a little muddied. So just make sure that you're getting a dog that you know is going to have a good temperament, and make sure that you train that dog. And you train it with someone who specializes in this type of community interaction.
Yeah, and you don't have to figure it out yourself, because Kim didn't.
Yeah, that's,
yes. There was this great organization that helped. And what was the name of the organization again?
Canines for Freedom and Independence in Collinsville, Texas. And it's on the back of her book as well.
Well, there we go. So get the book. That will help you track down Canines for Freedom and Independence. But from having had groups like that on before, the way they are networked, if they don't have a dog for you, they will tell you, hey, there's this place in Wyoming or Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
They'll help you get hooked up.
Yes. Know? And she's got dogs all over the country. She's got them in Dallas. She's got them here in the Kansas City metro area. I think there's 5 now in the metro area. So that are just like Lola, and we get together usually monthly and train with each other. So they're all interacted with each other. She's got them in California. Yeah, get a hold of somebody reputable, and the program works wonders.
And if you aren't part of a school district or a law enforcement agency, be creative. Think about, well, maybe I work someplace that could benefit from this. Any organization, large or small, would benefit from a trained dog that can help you de-stress.
Absolutely.
And just be there for all the hugs. I think that's the word that's used most often in Positively.
Yes.
Lola is the word hugs.
Yes.
She loves to give and receive hugs. Who wouldn't want that in their workplace?
Absolutely. And you can see just the difference shift when she walks in a room, you know, to where people are typing on their computers and, you know, they're doing paperwork. They have a lot of things going on, especially in the 911 dispatch center. When I take her in there, you know, everybody lights up. There's 3 agencies now in our dispatch center in Gladstone. And, you know, one of them's already got a treat jar for her over there. She runs right to them. She knows who's got it. So it does brighten up people's day. She does do amazing things. It's not a miracle cure. I will tell people that. But that is one dog that's out of a shelter that is making a difference in the world.
And becomes an ambassador for that.
Absolutely.
Which is going to help just regular adoptions from a shelter.
Yes.
That people realize this dog that was aggressive and untrainable.
Correct.
When put in the right hands, and that's a key. If you're
Absolutely.
At a shelter and they're saying this dog is aggressive and untrainable, most shelters and rescue groups can refer you to a behaviorist or a trainer.
Correct.
Who will help you with that dog. And we've had many on this podcast. So just look in our archives for either behavior or trainer, and you will find someone who could even help you online. And you talk about bringing Lola in while people are working, and all of a sudden their attitude just shifts. Anyone who's concerned about, well, then she's a distraction. She's keeping people from working. Think how much more productive those people are after she leaves.
Absolutely. And it's just, you know, it's a 5-minute interaction, and everybody needs that 5-minute. Mm-hmm. Just take 5 minutes, and it's amazing what it does just to for productivity, to get people back in the right mindset, and just to make them smile. Mm-hmm. Happy people are good and productive.
Yeah, it makes you more productive. Well, again, the link to this book's page on the Sheriff's Department's website will be in the description, so you can learn more about the book. You can order the book, and links to everything else we talked about will be in the description. Kim Hunter, Communications Supervisor, Clay County Sheriff's Office, and most importantly, Lola's canine handler. Thank you so much for being on Dog Words, and thank you so much for what you do for the community.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and you've been listening to Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Thank you again to Kim Hunter for joining us today. All the links referenced in our discussion are in the episode description, as promised. If any of the links we provide either do not work or fail to appear in the description, that is likely due to the limitations of the podcast platform that you're using. If you have difficulty, go to our podcast page at rosiefund.org for a fully functioning description and access to the entire Dog Words archive. A big thank you to alternative string duo The Wires, featuring cellist Sasha Groshong and violinist Laurel Morgan Parks, for playing the wonderful music you've heard on today's and previous episodes of Dog Words. Supporting The Wires supports our mission. Learn more about The Wires, including their concert schedule, at thewires.info and download their music on iTunes. Check out fiddlelife.com and learn to play fiddle and cello fiddle online from Laurel and Sasha, even if you've never played before. Go to rosiefund.org to shop and get links to our social media. As always, please download, follow, rate, and share Dogwords. This helps us with sponsorships, and then Rosie Fund can help more dogs. Send us your comments, questions, and suggestions via the contact form at rosiefund.org, and let us know if you would like to be a sponsor or a guest of the Dogwords podcast. Thank you for listening to Dogwords, and remember, we save each other.